This month we've been talking about the topic or theme, What Ninth and Main Deserves. And tonight, I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And I want to talk about Ninth and Main deserves devout behavior from all. Ninth and Main deserves devout behavior from all. And so we'll let this Bible define itself. Notice verse 10 there. Apostle Paul writing back to the church at Thessalonica, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably," this is the King James Version, "we behaved ourselves among you that believe." The Apostle Paul is speaking on behalf of his own character and the witness that they should have had or seen with his character without shadow of doubt. When he speaks that they had lived or had worked amongst them as a holy, a just, and an unblameable person. Those are sometimes challenging tasks, but that would define in the context our subject matter, devout behavior. So how do you measure up as a holy, set apart, sanctified would be the idea, holy, set apart, or sanctified person, saved? How do you measure up as a just person? We looked at some things in our Bible class tonight. Romans 2:11, you may remember just a moment ago, if you were in this class, God is no respecter of persons. How just of a person are you? How do you measure up when it comes to your biases? How do you handle your relationships with people? How do you look upon people? Perhaps in this context, it has something to do with the Jew and the Gentile relationship, the sometimes oft division that occurred between the two classes or the two cultures. And then blameable. How do you measure up as a blameable person? And I've had to think about this a lot lately. Blameable. The idea here is that you are not blameable for any charge or sin. There's nothing that can be charged against you. Now, again, sometimes there's suppositions or there's assumptions, but those aren't necessarily things that make you unblameable. There are opinions. People think things about you. And I would suggest that you do the best that you can in your life to bear a good name. The Bible talks about having a good name. The Bible talks about being known outside the church, the parameters of the body or fellowship of Christ, that men know you and know that then you are a good person, generally speaking. So these are the ideas in 1 Thessalonians 2:10. Holy, just, unblameable. And this is what Paul's talking about in regard to how he behaved himself there at Thessalonica. And he uses that to confer devout behavior. So I say all that to say again, Ninth and Main deserves this. I deserve this. You deserve it from me. You should be able to depend upon the fact that whenever we leave these four walls, I am the same person that you see and you know in this building. Is that who you are? Now, I have a goal to contact and get to know you better, but I hope that that's your goal too, because I want to be a friend. I want to be your brother in Christ. And so I want to look at a couple more passages, and then we'll let the Bible again explain this to us. If you stay with me in 1 Thessalonians 2, I want you to read down to, again, the 14th verse with me, just to look at what he says here. After there, verse 10, he says, "And you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." There's a relational aspect. He relates back to, "I was like a father to a child to you, and you should know that. You should know that." You know, I should be able again to say that you should know that I've been good to you. I've tried. All right? Look at verse 12. that you would walk worthy of God, not worthy of Paul necessarily, but worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. This is God's kingdom. This is his business. I'm just a servant here. So again, if we're devout in this context or this passage, our motives then here are always about what is God's business, not my business. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a confession. I need you to pray for me because I've had a hard week in the secular world, and I want to throw it away sometimes because it's tough out there. It really is, and I'm feeling it right now emotionally. I'm tired. That's okay, though. It's part of the life we live, and we need to know that because we have strength, and I couldn't wait to get here tonight because I knew I'd be with my brethren. But here again, the world doesn't have this, so what do? They act ungodly all the time because that's all they know. But here Paul says to the Thessalonians again in verse 12, I've called you into his kingdom in his glory. Not my glory, but his glory. He's the one that exalts you. And so look at verse 13. What an amazing passage here. He says, for this cause we thank God always, without ceasing, because when you received the word of God that they taught, that Paul taught and communicated, you received it not as the words of men, not as my words, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now, if that's what I'm doing, I need to say the same thing to you. The words that I'm preaching, look at them. They're not my words, they're God's words. I'm not here to glorify myself. I need your help. You need my help. I need to be devout. But then notice the last part of verse 13. That phrase effectually works in you that believe the word of God he's talking about, that works in me. He says it is energizing. The word effectual there is the word in the original language, energeo, which means it gives you energy, strength. That's what makes you devout. That's why I know I'm going to make it through the day, but it's just hard sometimes. And I told someone today, I said, man, I just want a little me time right now. You ever feel that way? But then I felt guilty saying it. I felt guilty saying it. But what gives me my energy and my strength is the same thing that gives you true energy and strength. It's the Word of God. And that's what makes us devout. Now, as I summarize, I wish I had time to go into a lot of other passages where the Apostle Paul defends his character in various locations and speaks to his devout character, and he backs it up with evidences and proof. But I want you to look at something. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3. We'll just stay in a narrow context here. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, his second epistle that he writes back to them, listen to these words. And he says here, in talking about devout and now practical behaviors, in verse 10 of chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly. This isn't devout behavior. This is disorderly behavior. Working not at all, but are busybodies, gossips. What do idle people do usually? The old statement, it's not in the Bible, don't misunderstand, but an idle mind is what? A devil's workshop. Well, that's a truism, we might say. Well, that's true in the sense that God knows that we need to be busy, not busybodies. Workers in the kingdom, devout, energized by his truth. But here again, he's writing back to them saying, hey, I'm hearing there's some here that are disorderly, not working, they're lazy. And so what does he say in verse 12? Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, the authority of God, that with quietness you work and eat your own bread. Work with your own hands. And then look at what he says in verse 13. Brian, talking to me now. Brian, don't you be weary in well-doing. You ever get weary in well-doing? I think I do. And then look at verse 15. Or I'm sorry, verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Because that's not devout. That's not devout behavior if you're acting this way. So sometimes do we have to deal with that in the church? Yeah, we do, unfortunately. So that's why we're preaching this lesson. That's why we're teaching. What does Ninth and Main deserve? It deserves devout behavior. And devout behavior right here in this context is a working behavior, not a lazy behavior. Not a lazy behavior. We'll get a lot done. Look at Titus 2 real quick, and I've just got two more passages, and I'll let the lesson be yours. In Titus chapter 2, similar to a young evangelist, in verses 7 and 8, Titus 2, 7 and 8. And Paul's talking about young men, young women, and how to behave themselves. This is devout behavior. If you'll notice there in verse 7 and 8, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Why are we devout? Because it creates purity. It creates holiness. It creates that Paul said there at Thessalonica he was. Just behaviors. And then in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Let's just back up to 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. And especially young people here, just remember this passage. Even you have a responsibility to be devout. What did Paul say to Timothy here? Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in your conversation or your manner of life, in charity, love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Does it hurt our hearts when we know our young people are struggling with sin? Is that devout behavior when they're struggling with sin? No. But guess what? We that are strong that are here among you are here to help you and help you overcome that so that you can be devout and you will be, so that you can be a good example. Because that's what the world needs, not just Ninth and Main. So when you leave this building, are we being an example to all of them? The world deserves it. Ninth and Main deserves it. It's an exhortation to do good. And there's nothing wrong with doing good, is there? And so we want to encourage that here. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, a child of God, if you're not sure, we'd like to study with you. We've been emphasizing Bible studies here every time the doors are open. We have tools at our disposal to help you know your condition. If you know you're not a child of God and you're ready to make the proper decision, the right decision, to repent of your sins because you believe, you know, and now you're ready to confess before men that Jesus is the Son of the living God, a simple confession, but such a profound one, and be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, we can help you make that decision this very evening and help you be translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of our Savior's marvelous light. And I want to encourage you, if you're ready to make that decision, if you're here and a child of God and you simply need the prayers of the congregation, we all need prayers from time to time. Please, don't hesitate to let us know. We'll pray for you. As together we stand and we sing, won't you let us know?